This recording is a service of the Allen County Public Library's audio reading service. It is specifically designed for and directed to people who have visual, physical, learning, or language challenges to reading traditional printed materials.
Did you hear that? That's the sound of Local Bee. Get ready for a great selection of articles from several of the Metro's local magazines. One show with a wide variety of news about what's going on in and around Fort Wayne, from business to entertainment. It's Local Beat, right now on your audio reading service.
This is the Local Beat, and I'm your reader, Marcia, with the audio reading service at the Allen County Public Library in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Today, we will be reading from five publications, local publications. We have the Auburn Official Event Guide for Labor Day Weekend 2025. That is a copyright date of 2025 from the Auburn Cord Duesenberg Festival, Incorporated. Fort Wayne Magazine, our June edition, sits here at 2025 copyright year, Fort Wayne Newspapers, Inc. We have Fort Wayne Ink Spot copyright year 2025, Fort Wayne Ink Spot. Senior Life, 2025 copyright year from The Papers, Incorporated. And we also have a Glow edition, June 2025, copyright year, same date from Glow. Let's get started with our Auburn official event guide and read just a short article or two. First article is entitled Sam Madavi, 2025 Grand Marshal. With nearly three decades of experience in the automotive industry, Sam Madavi has made a lasting impact as a master technician, race car builder, and trusted media personality. He co-founded Madavi Motorsports in 1999, where he built a reputation for high-performance, turbocharged builds and race-ready machines, working with both domestic and import vehicles. Madavi Motorsports work has reached global audiences, supplying over 10 performance cars to the blockbuster Fast and Furious movie series, including appearances in Fast 7 and participating in the film Let's Be Cops. Sam is the host of the nationally syndicated TV show Sam's Garage, airing on Motor Trend, Velocity, Racer, formerly MAV-TV, REV-TV Canada, and streaming on MTRSPT1 and Apple TV. The show serves a wide range of automotive fans, covering everything from hot rods and performance upgrades to street rods, imports, and full restorations. Sam's unique ability to explain complex repairs and diagnostic techniques has made the show a favorite among both DIYers and professionals. Previously, Sam co-hosted the Sam's Garage radio show for 11 years alongside industry veteran Sam Memolo, where the pair provided real-time advice to callers across the country. In 2016, the brand expanded into television with Sam Madavi becoming the solo host in 2017. In 2020, Sam joined the Locar Car Show as host, traveling the country to spotlight custom builds, car show culture, and the passionate individuals behind the vehicles. Motorsports accomplishments include two-time NDRA drag racing champion, multiple podium finishes in national racing events, participant in the 2004 SEMA Installers Challenge, and the winner of Speed Channel's Pinks in 2008. TV and film contributions, over 10 cars featured in the Fast and Furious franchise, shop appearance in Fast 7, and contributions to Let's Be Cops. Upcoming projects, bringing back NOPI Nationals and racing, a revival of a classic event series celebrating import and performance car culture. Second article from our Auburn event guide, in conversation with John Zoller, avid collector of car mascots and hood ornaments. The article is written by Leslie Peel, ACD Festival Executive Director. This year's Festival magazine cover features the large winged god hood ornament from John Zoller's collection. Evolution of American car mascots and hood ornaments. Selections from the John Zoller collection currently on display at the Auburn Cord Duesenberg Automobile Museum. He estimates his total collection includes about 200 American 200 British and European, and 45 glass ornaments and mascots. As an avid collector, John recognizes the importance of sharing his large collection with the public. In addition to the ACDA Museum, another portion of his collection is on display at Revs Institute, Incorporated in Naples, Florida, which focuses mainly on the British and European mascots as well as glass mascots. John Zoller and his wife Becky collected American folk art for 35 years, including many sculptures, eventually selling their collection to Sotheby's prior to their move to Florida. At an auction in St. Petersburg, Florida, about 15 years ago, John purchased two car mascots, a 1914 Rolls-Royce Spirit of Ecstasy and a Lalique Greyhound. That began his interest in collecting these items specifically. Car mascots and hood ornaments served as great advertising for car companies. About 90% of mascots created were factory added, whereas 10% were accessory mascots designed by different artists who offered a choice for the buyer to meet their interests. Mascots and ornaments created in 1910 to the 1950s reflected the changing art styles of the times. Initially, those created were very expensive, with the process creating a clay model shell into which metal would be poured, often bronze, then plated in nickel or silver. In the 1930s, the process replaced bronze with zinc, added into a die-cast mold, making the process cheaper and faster than the European lost wax technique, which could only create one at a time, proving very labor-intensive. When asked to choose two favorite hood ornaments or mascots from his collection, John chose the Tucker 1948 spaceship and the Chrysler Imperial Gazelle winged cap, which are part of the collection on display at the ACDA Museum. The McFarlane Atlas is a mascot that he would love to add to his collection, mentioning it was produced by a small manufacturer for just a short time, which was, at the time, an enormous endeavor for a small company. With car mascots being very heavy, a potential safety issue, and with the introduction of more streamlined design cars in the 1960s, car mascots saw a decline. Today, the terms car mascot and hood ornament are used interchangeably. The ACD Festival would like to thank John for graciously allowing us to photograph the Wing God as a representation of this year's festival poster art. Our next publication is Fort Wayne Ink Spot. This is Volume 8, Number 14, publication date June 20th, 2025. We'll start with a cover story, and the title is Plant, Pick, Plate Program, Empowering Youth Through Gardening and Cooking. This is written by Miranda Thomas. The Johnny May Farm came alive on June 6th with the vibrant sights, sounds, and scents of community as the City of Fort Wayne officially launched the Plant, Pick, Plate Program, a unique initiative that blends gardening, cooking, and education to empower local youth. The city-led program is specifically tailored for students in grades 5 through 9, offering immersive experiences in gardening and culinary arts. Participants will learn to plant seeds, grow food, and use the skills they have obtained to apply to the recipes that they are learning from the classes. Participants will be receiving a $25 gift card to the Pontiac Market to encourage healthy eating with their families, representing the long-term impact of this great initiative. Mayor Sharon Tucker, who attended the launch event, praised the collaboration and vision behind the initiative. "I think it's awesome," said Mayor Tucker. "This is a great program. The team worked hard to pull this together, and it's so beneficial for the kids." The celebration featured a variety of interactive booths and activities. Attendees explored educational resources at the Pontiac Branch Library table, received information about the Fort Wayne Seed Initiatives, and engage with Purdue Fort Wayne Extension's booth. Families also had the chance to take home fresh, locally grown plants from the farm stand. One of the day's highlights was a cooking demonstration led by Kelly Marvin, CEO and president of Inspired Nutrition by Kelly, accompanied by her daughter, Allie Marvin. Kelly focused on teaching the students how to prepare fresh pesto and bruschetta. While emphasizing kitchen safety and knife skills, session offered a taste, literally and figuratively, of the program's core goals, education, wellness, and family connection. Representatives from the Allen County Public Library were also present, reinforcing the significant role literacy plays in every part of the program. We're so excited to kick off the summer reading with this kind of energy, said Joy from the Pontiac branch. We want to make sure families know we have diverse titles, especially in Spanish, and we're here to connect. Aisha Arrington, President and CEO of the Fort Wayne Urban League, reflected on the larger community impact. This kind of startup effort is never easy, but it's powerful. Kids are the best way to get parents on board. When they're excited about healthy food, it makes a real difference at home. As the kickoff community event concluded, it became clear that plant, pick, plate is more than a seasonal program. It's a movement toward healthier families, stronger neighborhoods, and a more connected Fort Wayne. To learn more or to enroll a student in the program, visit engage.cityoffortwayne.org/plant-pick-plate. Our second column in Fort Wayne Ink Spot is entitled How Scammers Are Targeting Older Adults with Tech-Powered Scams. This is an article provided by JP Morgan Chase. For many of us, it's hard to keep up with the latest technology. However, scammers seem to be ahead of the curve. Even in the most tech-savvy seniors might be fooled by the new high-tech tactics scammers are using. According to the FBI, individuals 60 and older lost nearly $4.9 billion to scams in 2024. Among the most popular scams reported were fake tech support messages, personal data breaches, and delivery scams. Scammers dupe victims into sending money or sharing personal information by creating a sense of urgency or threatening extreme consequences. The use of advanced technologies like Gen AI has made these tactics even more convincing and difficult to spot, as scammers easily create fake images, spoof phone numbers, and even clone voices. This Elder Abuse Awareness Month, Chase's Fort Wayne community manager, Sheila Anderson, has tips to help keep you and your loved ones safe. Avoid answering calls and texts from unknown numbers. If it's someone you know, they'll likely leave a message. If it's a fraud attempt and you answer, you could be asked to provide sensitive information for various fake reasons that may be hard to spot. Also, avoid responding to text messages from unknown numbers or clicking on links. Don't rely on caller ID alone. Consider adding a call protector app to your phone to flag calls that are likely scams. You can attempt to verify caller's identity by calling them back on a phone number you know to be theirs. Never share personal information over the internet. Even if someone claims to be a representative from your bank or government agency, be suspicious of any messages you receive. Don't fall for threats. No legitimate institution will threaten to disconnect services or urge you to send money to prevent fraud or gain access to your accounts. Report it. If you feel you've been scammed, contact your bank to discuss how to best protect your information and verify recent transactions to ensure there's no fraudulent activity on your account. You should also report it to the FTC at reportfraud.ftc.gov. Use free resources available to you. Chase Credit Journey offers free credit and identity monitoring, including alerts to let you know if your personal information is exposed in a data breach or on the dark web. You don't have to be a Chase customer to use it. For more information on how to protect your money as you age, visit chase.com/financial abuse. So the tips: avoid answering calls and texts from unknown numbers. Don't rely on caller ID alone. Never share personal information over the internet. Don't fall for threats and report it. And one last column from Fort Wayne Ink Spot. This is our June 20th, 2025 edition. This is the unscripted column. Muhammad Ali, the Knight of the Champ, was here in our Summit City. Unscripted is written by Keith Edmonds, Fort Wayne Ink Spot contributing writer. He begins his column with famous quotes from Muhammad Ali. Don't count the days. Make the days count. If my mind can conceive it and my heart can believe it, then I can achieve it. Service to others is the rent you pay for your room here on earth. It was a typical winter night in Fort Wayne, Indiana in February 2003. Nothing really special about that particular evening, except there was an anticipation of something different. Something magical was in the air that made this particular evening at the Memorial Coliseum just a little bit different. Let's look back on what occurred that evening and how it changed our city. Before I go any further, I'd like to thank Fort Wayne's own Wayman Lindsay for reminding me of this legend being in our city and pay remembrance to him. Fort Wayne Comets were having their annual Comcast report card night where thousands of our Fort Wayne area kids are allowed into the game for free if they have at least one A on their report card. What a deal. It was announced that a special guest was in the building, but the over 10,000 people in attendance had no idea just how special this guest was. Right before the puck dropped to start the game and before the combatants began mixing it up on the ice, the lights dropped, and who appeared in the spotlight on center ice? Arguably the greatest athlete of our generation and a global icon, Muhammad Ali. He'd spent a great deal of his day doing what naturally for him, helping to raise over $15,000 in funds for kids with life-threatening diseases through the Three Rivers Literacy Alliance and Camp Whatcha-Wanna Do of Northern Indiana, who I'm very familiar with because of Jay Leonard and Jim Casaburro's tremendous work with a young man I met while being involved with a young man named William. Reports were that Ali was being his usual playful self, with the audience showing off his Ali shuffle and shadow boxing, of course, and was really into that evening, which made me smile. Now, what can I say about this man that hasn't already been said? He was a tremendous fighter, an iconic personality, an endearing father to his kids, and an outspoken man of dignity and principle that made you stand up and take notice whenever he entered a room, arena, or building. In an era where the debate of who's the greatest of all time, GOAT, argument in sports always comes up in my mind, there have been many who try to claim that title, names like Jordan, Gretzky, Brady, and Tiger, but for me, it begins and ends with Muhammad Ali. He couldn't give us his full theatrical quips this particular evening because he was slowed by his battle with Parkinson's disease, but just the fact that he took the time to visit our city and to help our kids made his visit unforgettable. As I continued reading the accounts of his visit, I found one thing to be very poignant that he said before leaving. It was so loud in here tonight, I wish that I could have boxed here. That to me says a lot about our city and how we recognize true greatness. Muhammad Ali died June 3rd, 2016, with over 56 wins and 37 KOs on his resume. One place where he really scored a KO was when he visited our Summit City on a chilly night in February 2003. Many will never forget the night the champ was here. We are next headed into our June 2025 edition of Senior Life, Living Life After 50. First article we'll read is in the sports section, Cornhole League Champs Awarded Prizes. This is written by Rod King, feature writer. Little bags filled with corn were sailing through the air and landing with a thud on the angled boards at the Fort Wayne Community Center one Wednesday afternoon. It was the last session of the six-week-long Cornhole League, with 28 players competing for prizes. Three ended up winning special coupons usable at the center. First place went to Dave Cook, second to Jim Carnahan, and third to Jill Annell. This summer, the Cornhole League, sponsored by Oak Street Health, will get underway July 9th and run through August 13th. Competition is held at 1 p.m. each Wednesday at the center. The competition was stiff as players pitched the bags across the room to the board on the opposite side. Some fell short, some hit the board and slid on past the hole onto the floor, and of course, some fell in the hole. Bags ended up on the board got 1 point, while those dropping in garnered 3. Players used cancellation scoring to end up being either the first person to get to 21 points or the leader at the end of 7 frames. Cornhole seems simple enough. All that's required is to be able to toss the bags, hit the board, and add up the ones that fall in the hole and are on the board surface. The game, however, has a strict set of rules and specific dimensions for the playing field and the board. The two boards are placed exactly 27 feet apart. boards measure 2 feet wide by 4 feet long, and the 6-inch hole is exactly 9 inches from the top of the board and 12 inches from each side. The pitcher's boxes, area where players throw their bags from, are 4 feet by 3 feet on each side of the board. But step over the foul line, invisible line at the end of the board, and your toss will not count. Each player throws 4 bags. They alternate throwing like horseshoes and shuffleboard, and then change ends at the conclusion of 7 frames. Prior to the beginning of the matches, players took the opportunity to get in some practice throws. Jim Carnahan was consistently dropping bags in the hole. He ended up winning 2nd place and scored the most overall points during the 6-week competition. Carnahan has only been playing cornhole for a couple years, and before that hadn't even heard of the game. I stumbled across some people playing cornhole, and it looked to be fun and interesting. I watched closely, studied some of the techniques of throwing the bags, and after they were finished, I gave it a try. After a few throws, I found I had a pretty good sense of the game and joined the community center's leagues and the senior games. Since joining the league, he's been 1st or 2nd the past few years and did well in the senior games, too. I simply focus on the target, take my time, and throw the bags in a fairly high arc, end over end, toward the other board. For me, said Carnahan, cornhole is a lot of fun. I've met a lot of really good people and tough competitors. The competition is not over, however, until the players fold up the boards and place them on the rack. We are now in the faith section. The headlines read, local author publishes new book. The Lighthouse has announced founder and director Dr. Brandon Bauer has published a new book that is available for review or purchase called 30 Days in James. It's written to be a devotional guide for those who struggle with addiction. Bauer stated, this easy-to-read devotional focuses the reader on essential truths that will help them with daily accountability, understand the addiction, struggle, and integrate faith into real-life struggles. I hope this book is a blessing to many. It is an outpouring of my heart and a compilation of 25 years of faith-centered work with those who struggle with life-altering addictions. If you'd like to receive a copy of Bauer's new book, you can find it on Amazon or stop by the Community Center, 3000 East State Boulevard in Fort Wayne. The Lighthouse is a faith-based residential program providing a safe place for those in the community who struggle with life and life's problems. The Lighthouse also offers clothing vouchers, food through its food bank, free biblical counseling, and prison outreach. For more information, visit lhfw.org. On the same page, the headlines read, Homebound Meals Needs Volunteers. And this is written by Barbara Umber, Executive Director of Homebound Meals, Inc. Volunteering as a driver for Homebound Meals is a deeply rewarding opportunity to directly impact your community while fitting effortlessly into your daily schedule. This role offers autonomy, flexibility, and the chance to witness the difference your efforts make through personal interactions with the meal recipients. Whether you choose to drive your own vehicle or use the Homebound Meals van, which is always available and equipped with everything you need, the experience is both enriching and convenient. One of the most appealing aspects of this program is its emphasis on teamwork. Many volunteers team up sharing routes and stories as they work together to deliver essential meals to homebound individuals. This collaborative spirit fosters strong community bonds and encourages a culture of giving. It's an ideal way for homeschoolers to learn about paying it forward as they see firsthand how their contributions brighten someone's day and build lasting community connections. Operating Monday through Friday during the lunch hour, this service is perfectly suited for those with busy schedules. Even if you only have a 90-minute window during your lunch break, you can contribute meaningfully without disrupting your workday. The reliability of the schedule means you can plan your day around making a difference, knowing that your commitment directly benefits those in need. By joining Homebound Meals as a volunteer driver, you engage in a unique blend of independence and community service. The program not only nourishes the body by delivering medically tailored meals, but also nourishes the spirit by connecting people. Each delivery reinforces the value of community, making this role a truly impactful way to contribute to the well-being of homebound individuals and to cultivate a culture of care and support. This fulfilling role not only enriches your life, but also reinforces community bonds, fostering lasting care and support. If you're interested in volunteering, the local phone number is 260-422-3296, or you can email the director at homeboundmeals.org. And we'll read one more column in Senior Life, our June 2025 edition. The headlines read, The New Age of Aging. Topic at AIHS Anniversary Celebration. Text and photos were provided by Deb Patterson, Editor-in-Chief. The annual Aging and In-Home Services of Northeast Indiana annual meeting, May 16th, celebrated its 50th anniversary. The New Age of Aging was the theme for the event named Stakeholder Summit and Community Conversation. The close to 500 attendees heard from keynote speaker Dr. Ken Dichtald, psychologist, gerontologist, and best-selling author who touched on the changing demographics of mature adults. Audience participation and table discussions were encouraged on several occasions. His presentation concluded with a time for questions and answers. Dichtald, who stated 81% of the population is over the age of 65, identified five issues for today's aging population. New longevity life stages, matching health spans to lifespans, averting mass elder poverty, eliminating ageism, and establishing a new purpose for maturity. He included facts of how the stages of life have changed from the 1800s to today. Those stages have changed from childhood, adult, and old age at the age of 50 to 60. Today, those stages include childhood up to age 12, adolescence up to age 19, young adulthood through age 25, adulthood through age 50, middlescence through 65, late adulthood through age 78, and elderhood over the age of 79. He provided statistics on how the U.S. lags behind many countries in both lifespan and health span, and the great financial worries of healthcare and long-term care. We need our elders to be futuristic, those who can make things happen, he said. He noted the need for an elder corp to share their talents, experiences, and help kids. He encouraged those in attendance to talk about the issues and to get the right issues being talked about. Make a list and do it. When he spoke about creating an elder corp, he said it can fall in the not-for-profit sector, with state and local officials saying it's time and talk about it. It's finding the right sponsor, he said, adding, at the same time, it doesn't require a great deal of money. The audience also heard from Christy Harkenreiter, board chair, and Connie Benton-Wolf, president and CEO. Wolf noted the challenges ahead, new goals, thinking differently, and inspiration with a bold new vision that reflects tomorrow's demographics. It was announced Beth Evans will be taking over the helm of Aging and In-Home Services of Northeast Indiana as president and CEO July 1. Wolf will be stepping down but continuing as chief visionary officer. Evans closed the event by stating, We find ourselves right now on a daily basis what feels like overwhelming change. We are being asked to do more with less. We are pivoting fast, staying nimble, and unwavering in our commitment to excellence and innovation. We will find a way to do our part for our clients. We'll be a great strategic partner for the state of Indiana, local and national foundations, academic centers of research, and the healthcare system serving Northeast Indiana. I am so proud to announce Aging and In-Home Services has been selected as one of the five area agencies in the nation to lead in the development of guiding an improved dementia experience, an 8-year demonstration program through the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, and we will officially launch this program to the community July 1st. This program is geared to help address the unique needs of those living with dementia and their caregivers and will offer ongoing clinical and social support through care coordination, care planning, and provision of caregiver services. It's all about going forward into the new age of aging. We have to embrace the whole new future that takes us squarely to proving our value to new audiences and funders. through hard work, determination, fearlessness, and yes, laughter. We need you. We need your faith in us. We need your advocacies for our clients, but most importantly, we need your belief that there is a new aging in front of us, and AIHS is a community resource that will help Northeast Indiana realize that mission. Together, we can demonstrate that Northeast Indiana is the best place in the country to grow old, to retire, to live in community, to contribute to community, and to flourish no matter the age. A 50th anniversary yearbook was available to guests. This yearbook featured AIHS leadership, locations, programs and services, achievements, research, and keynote speakers of past annual meetings. That brings us up to GLOW, Northeast Indiana's GLOW Fashion Beauty Home DIY. It's our June 2025 edition. Looks like we have three columns to finish the magazine, so let's do it. First one is the feature section, Dream Trips. The headlines read, Montreal in 4 days, a city of cobblestones, culture, and culinary magic. It's written by Amber Butho. Here's her introduction. I didn't know what to expect from my first trip to Canada, but Montreal swept me off my feet from the moment we arrived. What began as a four-day girls' getaway with my friend Wendy quickly turned into an immersive, enchanting experience that blended European charm with Canadian friendliness. We navigated a new city, indulged in unforgettable meals, and met locals who made us feel like family. Here's how we fell in love with Montreal: rain, maple gloves, lost driver's license, and all. Day one, old world charm and culinary excellence. After a hiccup with our phones at the airport, we checked into our hotel, a modern gem with private rooms and a balcony the size of a small plaza. First up, grocery store wanderings. Everything looks fancier in French, and a quick shawarma dinner. Then we tackled the metro and found our way to the heart of old Montreal. The cobblestone streets, historic architecture, and whimsical cafes made us feel like we'd stepped into Europe. The highlight of the night, the Aura light show at Notre Dame Basilica, and a truly unforgettable dinner at Toque. My duck breast with parsnip puree was one of the top five meals of my life. Day two, murals, museums, and Middle Eastern marvels. We started with more exploring in old Montreal before discovering St. Louis Square and its colorful row homes. We made a quick visit to the geodesic dome of the biosphere, then spent the evening at Damas, a Syrian restaurant that absolutely floored us with its tasting menu. Every dish was a flavor explosion, and the service was top tier. Day three, rainy streets and resilience. Despite 37-degree temps and nonstop drizzle, we braved the Mile End neighborhood in search of bagels. Success for Wendy, sadness for my allergies. After buying souvenir gloves, we wandered through mural-lined streets to McGuire Shoes, a woman-owned boutique that was as stylish as it was welcoming. We visited a library inside a former church, stumbled across some architectural gems, and eventually made it to the Museum of Jewish Montreal for a vibrant and deeply moving photo exhibit. Dinner that night, Joe Beef. Think French market meets grandma's house meets swap meet, complete with a fireplace. Day four, art, gardens, and a grand farewell. We saved the best for last. The Montreal Museum of Fine Arts completely blew us away, especially the Berthe Weil exhibit that spotlighted the unsung gallerist who championed legends like Picasso and Matisse. Afterward, we wandered the stunning Montreal Botanical Gardens, where tulip-sweeping willows and peaceful cultural gardens gave us a final dose of spring magic. Dinner at Candide was a five-course dream, capped off with a surprise spoonful of fresh local honey. We closed the night with a ride on the La Grande Rue de Montreal, the giant Ferris wheel. Touristy, yes, but breathtaking all the same. Montreal is a city that welcomes you in, wraps you in charm, and feeds you like royalty. We came for a quick trip. We left trying to figure out how to stay forever. Next article in GLOW is in the feature section, and it's an article provided by the Women's Fund of Greater Fort Wayne. The headlines read, Why Paid Internships Matter for College-Aged Women in Male-Dominated Fields. Here's the introduction. In today's workforce, women remain significantly underrepresented in science, technology, engineering, and math STEM fields, especially in leadership roles. According to research conducted by the Women's Fund of Greater Fort Wayne, only 24% of STEM leadership positions were held by women in 2023. This lack of representation not only reflects systemic barriers, but also limits the visibility of role models for the next generation. Our research also shows that 43% of local STEM students believe there are barriers to success in their field of interest. These barriers range from lack of access to professional networks to the absence of inclusive workplace cultures. Meanwhile, employers are feeling the strain. 35% of Allen County manufacturers report that it's more difficult to find qualified talent compared to previous years. Enrollment in STEM education programs remains low relative to industry needs, particularly in manufacturing and transportation. One of the most promising strategies for addressing these challenges is increasing access to paid internships, especially for women in male-dominated industries. Internships help students build confidence, gain critical skills, and form professional connections that often lead to long-term career opportunities. For women, these experiences are especially critical in industries where they may not see many people who look like them or share their lived experiences. To help close this gap, the Women's Fund of Greater Fort Wayne is launching a summer corporate internship program designed specifically for college-aged women pursuing degrees in STEM, finance, healthcare administration, and other historically male-dominated fields. This 10-week paid internship initiative will connect rising juniors, seniors, and recent graduates in Allen County with local companies that are committed to building a more diverse and inclusive workforce. In addition to work experience, the program will include weekly professional development opportunities such as networking events, leadership training, and mentorship sessions. The Women's Fund will lead the recruitment, evaluation, and placement process, ensuring that both students and employers are supported throughout the experience. Internships are not just beneficial for students, they also provide employers with early access to emerging talent, a chance to engage with future leaders, and a structured way to evaluate potential long-term hires. As part of the program, each participating company will receive inclusive workplace training to better support women in their workplaces and to help build cultures of belonging. When paid and thoughtfully structured, internships offer more than experience. They offer access, equity, and opportunity. For women in male-dominated fields, they can be the catalyst for lasting change, not only in individual career paths, but across entire industries. And our third and last column from our June edition of GLOW, Enhancing the Employee Experience, is the headline. This is written by Julie Young. Here's her introduction. Erin Morris may be new to the Star Financial family, but she relishes her role as the human resources manager, as well as the talented and hardworking people with whom she works. The work itself is engaging and keeps me learning and growing, but one of the things I appreciate the most is the company's culture. It's very inclusive and family-oriented, which fosters a sense of belonging and collaboration. Star Financial defines their workplace culture as one in which their associates feel seen, valued, and respected. There's a strong emphasis on teamwork, open communication, and mutual regard for one another. One way in which they foster this culture is by prioritizing a top-tier employee experience, which begins the moment that prospective team members and new hires engage with the brand. Morris said, "That's why it's so important that Star's career page and presence in the community accurately reflect the culture that they have built, as well as the mission and core values they uphold. From the first interaction, through onboarding, and throughout the full employee life cycle, I work closely both with employees and managers to ensure that people are in the right roles, have opportunity for career movement and development, and remain engaged in the work that they do," she said. At Star Financial, career growth isn't limited to promotions. Rather, it is about continuous development and the expansion of one's potential. Employees are encouraged to build their skills within their current roles and to explore new opportunities through internal movement. Whether it's a lateral move to gain broader experience or a promotion to take on more responsibility, Star Financial actively supports employees in shaping their careers. "Even in my short time with Star, I've seen firsthand how employees benefit from these opportunities," Morris said. The company places tremendous focus on learning and development, ensuring that employees have the resources that they need to grow. This commitment is evident in initiatives such as the company-wide Learning Day, comprehensive onboarding and training programs, and a dedicated learning and development team that supports employees at every stage of their careers. By focusing on these initiatives, Star Financial ensures that workplace culture isn't just a concept, but something that is actively built and reinforced every day. As a new employee, Moore said she really appreciates how Star Financial lives its mission from the top down. In addition to offering employees a comprehensive benefits package designed to enhance the overall well-being and satisfaction of their employees, they also offer flexible work arrangements that prioritize the holistic development of the team. Leadership is not only present but highly accessible, which creates an environment where employees feel like valued members of the family. She said it is clear that the company genuinely cares about its employees, not just in words, but in actions. From development opportunities to community involvement and a strong focus on work-life balance, Star Financial is committed to creating a workplace where people can thrive both personally and professionally. She said it's been an amazing experience so far, and I'm excited to continue growing here. Star Financial is online, starfinancial.com. And that gets us to Fort Wayne Magazine, our June 2025 edition. We're working on the cover story, which is entitled 5 Years Later. It's a series of essays that brings us to one that's entitled Don't Just Do Something, Stand There. It's written by John Christensen. As a lifelong doer who measures my self-worth by my daily accomplishments, this phrase threw me for a loop in a critically important way. I see the impact of doing every day in my nonprofit work. People generously want to help fix, serve, teach, and direct those in need. In some cases, that is exactly what is needed as trauma has so overwhelmed a client that they can no longer function on their own. But in most cases, true healing doesn't come from being fixed. It comes from being heard, seen, and loved for simply existing. True healing comes with accompaniment. True healing comes from walking in someone else's shoes and being open to their journey. In 2020, we got a heavy dose of this challenge. With COVID, we wanted an enemy to fight. We wanted something we could do to stop the fear of this deadly disease. Instead, we were literally told to stay home and do nothing, while wearing a mask, of course. With the death of George Floyd, we also wanted an enemy. We wanted to punish someone or something for everything his death stood for. We wanted to take action and did so through rallies, bumper stickers, signs, gatherings, training sessions, speeches, and so much more. This felt great for everyone. It was helpful to feel progress. It was helpful to take action and to check some new boxes of effort and attention to this racial albatross around our nation's neck. It was great to see new people take this issue to heart. But in focusing on doing and fixing, we forgot to also just stand there and take in the reality of the mountain in front of us. In our doing, we stopped listening and seeing. Instead of pausing to truly understand the problem, we jumped right to solutioning. We focused so hard on the immediate pain, we lost sight of the depth of 400 years of generational pain. As any counselor will tell you, healing is never binary. I'm not simply fixed or broken, but rather I'm somewhere on the journey, forward or backward. We need to look no further than any detox program ever created. One is not a former addict, but rather a recovering addict. It takes time to unravel generations of beliefs and actions. In my specific case, how were my Catholic immigrant great-grandparents treated by others, and how was this carried from generation to generation? In turn, how did they treat the Jewish family who lived down the street, or the immigrants who came after them, or the poor and marginalized in their community, or even the women of their own family? And for this conversation, how did they treat African Americans in their world? How did they talk about them? How was this silently or not so silently passed on generation after generation? If I was immersed in this reality combined with white teachers in white schools, and I never took the time to learn otherwise, how could I expect a different outcome in my beliefs? As a husband and father, I have a responsibility to not just do, but to stand with my loved ones. As a member of this community, I also have the responsibility to not just do something, but to stand there in someone else's church, in someone else's living room, in someone else's job, in someone else's pain, simply to learn and understand. That kind of presence is where transformation begins. Next page is entitled, We Gonna Be All Right. This is written by Aaron and Janelle Lane, co-founders of Courageous Healing, Inc. Being asked to write about the current state of race and culture is a challenging task. If we're too honest, it's offensive to certain segments of the population. If we're not honest enough, it is offensive to other segments of the population. The truth is, as we reflect on the last 5 years, there have been significant efforts made to try to educate the world on issues of equity and existing disparities. However, there has been very little impact to the everyday quality of life for marginalized populations. Those who really had an interest in learning have learned and are still learning, and those who are committed to ignoring, avoiding, and disparaging the existence of equity issues remain committed to that heart posture. With that being said, and in attempts to avoid writing another article to persuade and educate the masses, we decided to pivot and focus on writing a love letter to our people. And this page is entitled Love Letter. We see you and all of your determination and grit, with your righteous spirits and tenacious drive, your unwillingness to relent, to surrender, and to compromise. Your authenticity speaks to your resilience. We know at times it gets hard to keep going, to keep fighting, to dig deep down inside of the crevices to find the will and motivation to fight another day, to not give up. Perseverance is in you. It's the stuff you're made of, from your ancestors to your children's children. It's the essence of who you are. No matter how they feel about you, no matter what they try to do or what they have always tried to do, you will endure. Your people will survive. Through persecution, economic oppression, slander, minimization, marginalization, violence, and you will survive. Your unbreakable spirit is a gift from the Most High. We hear you. It's okay not to be okay. Your emotions are valid. The anger, the tears, the frustration, the growing weariness are all warranted. Our history is real. It cannot be erased, especially as it repeats itself in times like these. Our voices and commitment to standing 10 toes down in truth are some of our biggest assets. We got you. We are committed to pouring into, covering, and centering our youth. We are determined to make healing accessible and free of shame for every individual, couple, family, and community. We refuse to allow the unresolved trauma to be transferred and hate to be internalized to the point of self-hate and violence. We love you. We are reclaiming the collective, our identities, our communities, our families, our oneness. Our rhythm is the heartbeat of this country. Our strength is the glue. Our blood, sweat, and tears irrigated the soil. Our flavor is the salt of the earth. Our love is revolutionary. Our rest, our peace, and our joy is the resistance. We are the resistance. Keep fighting, keep working, keep dancing, keep getting up. Keep healing, keep laughing, keep praying, keep living, keep giving, keep loving hard. Keep smiling big. Keep sharing your gifts with the world. Keep being authentically you. In our Kendrick Lamar voice, we're going to be all right. The next essay we'll read from Fort Wayne Magazine is written by Tamika Ford. And the headlines read, No Permission Needed. For most of my life, I was told to sit down, stay quiet, never speak on what happened behind closed doors. I was told what to do, what not to do, how to act, what not to say. I was trained to be silent, even when silence was killing me inside. Telling secrets was forbidden. And because of that, I learned to carry pain like it was a requirement for my survival. But I got tired. Tired of walking on eggshells, tired of pretending everything was okay, tired of holding in everyone else's wrongs and blaming myself for things that weren't mine to carry. I got tired of being the one everyone dumped their mess on while being told to smile through it. So one day I decided enough was enough. Instead of sweeping it all under the rug, I removed the rug. I aired out every secret. I stopped holding my breath for someone to give me permission to speak. I realized that staying silent was not protecting me. It was destroying me. My book, More to Life, was born from that decision. That breaking point became a breakthrough. It's my personal journey of stepping out on faith after years of being trapped in fear. It's my story of turning generational silence into generational healing, because childhood shapes who we are, but it doesn't have to define who we stay. So many of us walk into adulthood dragging trauma, carrying grudges, harboring lies, and trying to function with emotional wounds that never healed. We become parents, partners, professionals, while silently battling the demons no one knows about. That was me, living a life where the outside looked okay, but inside I was screaming. I didn't know peace because I didn't know truth. When I finally chose to speak up for myself, the chains began to fall. I stopped asking, "Is it okay if I say this?" and started saying, "I need to say this for me." And in doing that, I gave other people permission to do the same, to tell their truth, to stop being silent, to realize that they aren't alone, and they never were. I'm no longer a victim of my past. I'm a survivor and a leader of my present. From no guidance, no support, no direction, and no love, I grew into a successful nurse, mother, and entrepreneur. I turned nothing into something. I took what was meant to destroy me and used it to build a life I love. But I didn't do it just for me. I walked this road so others could see what's possible. I share my story to remind people. You are not what happened to you. You are what you choose to become. There is life after the storm. There is healing on the other side of hurt. There's love after loneliness. I'm proof that even when you're counted out, overlooked, and forgotten, you can still rise. That even when no one believes in you, you can believe in yourself, that God can take the pieces of your life and turn them into a masterpiece. I want people to know it's okay to speak up. It's okay to cry. It's okay to feel. You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to be strong all the time. Let go of the idea that you have to carry everything quietly. So if you're standing where I once stood, tired, silent, and full of questions, I want to remind you there's more, more to life, more to your life, and you don't need permission to go find it. If you want to read more about my journey from silence to truth, from broken to whole, from forgotten to fearless, read my book series, More to Life. And I'm going to spell that more as M-O-O-R-E to life, L-Y-F-E. Because healing starts with truth. And truth starts when you stop waiting for someone to let you speak. Speak now. Speak for you. And never forget, you are worthy of peace, love, and joy. Again, that's Tamika Ford. We still have a few more essays, and we will hopefully finish those up next week. I can see we are out of time for today, but I've enjoyed spending this time together with you. This has been Marcia with The Local Beat. I hope you've enjoyed today's reading from the audio reading service at the Allen County Public Library.